Hello and welcome to One World Pod, brought to you by the group One World Many Paths and recorded on Reflection Island in the virtual world of Second Life. Today we're honored to bring you Don Juan Ryder, a friend and poet who is giving his encore presentation. Enjoy.
Hi and welcome to the One World Podcast. My name is Don Juan Ryder, and writing's what I do. I named myself Don Juan not as a reference to the lover, but to the sorcerer character from the books by Carlos Castaneda. Completely forgetting about the reputation of the other Don Juan. But there we go. Anyway, hello, welcome. Gonna read you some poems, and I hope you enjoy them. This first one is called Postman. I get up at 5 o'clock and do the graveyard shift around your block. I trudge through snow and over hills, bringing you advertisements and regular bills. I am on my own most of the day, hoping for someone with something to say. Not much of a life really now, is it? But I know that you miss me when I don't visit. Okay, this next poem requires a gin and tonic in my hand. It is called Demands for Respect. I do not respect those who expect that their demands for respect be respected. Because true from my heart, they had it from the start, and by ill will I shall not be infected. Next up is my first ever Swedish language poem. I wrote it on the eve of Midsummer Day, which is a big deal over here, and it was a Thursday. So I called it Torsdag, which is Swedish for Thursday. There will be a translation immediately afterwards. Torsdag. Midsommardagen imorgon, hög ska jag bli. Jag visst, jag jobbar inte, men lever inte en kopp te. Min son är mycket sjuk i hjärna, min sambo är ledsen i hjärtat. Min mamma och pappa krig i min tänka. Jag tänker, Gud har fiatat. And now the English translation. Thursday. Midsummer's day tomorrow, how shall I be? Sure, I'll not be working, but life is not a cup of tea. My son is very sick in his brain. My living partner is sad in her heart. My mother and father, war in my thoughts. I'm thinking God has let out a fart. Safe to say at this stage, this podcast has been rated PG. You know when you're sitting on an aeroplane and you're about to take off and the captain's voice comes over the tannoy? Well, this is what it would sound like if we lived in a world where everything had to rhyme. Bing! Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you aboard our flight. Seems we have ahead of us a clear night. We'll be cruising at a high altitude. There will be trolley service of drinks and food. Thereafter will be sales of confectioneries, gadgets, aftershave and perfume, when the final approach will resume. I am your flight director and my staff are here to serve, to ensure you receive the comfort you deserve. Please make sure your baggage is safely stored. There will be entertainment should you become bored. In an hour and a half we will begin our descent, and we then hope your journey with us will have been time well spent. This next poem is entitled What If What Ifs Weren't What Ifs But Were Was? We could have all become quadrupeds, or had a marijuana-based economy. We may yet have barcodes tattooed on our heads, but it seems communism missed its chance for autonomy. Hitler could have won, or the Japanese at that. We could be selling slaves by the imperial ton. We could all be worshipping the cat. We could have already been blown away by someone who'd really meant it. Gladly, I'm reading this on the internet today, because someone saw fit to invent it. This next poem is entitled, You'll Be Enlightened. Is your mind inclined to a discomforting ability to rarely unwind? Was cozy religion not enough? Was meditation too tough? Were you given chances but got too frightened? Congratulations, you are enlightened. And now it is time for a chilling story, the tale of the Cannibal Party. The first signs were the crimes. People went missing and their bones were found, lying around. At first the blame was placed on some lone sicko to be chased. But when he was caught and justice brought, more bones were found, lying around. The special investigation result stated this was the work of a copycat cult that blended religious and fascist iconography, a malevolent strain of body-flesh pornography. Flayed carcasses began to increase in findings, a spring of fear began its windings. As more and more people went missing, it was a political agenda that no longer bore dismissing. Discussions were held in cloisters and halls in blood. The truth was written on the walls. The situation worsened with no sign of improvement. This was too big for a cult. This was a popular movement. The Cannibal Party declared its place and began to make known its case that the moral platform of caring for each other was a coward's reign. Now brother must eat brother. Eat or be eaten, spake the chosen few. Sharpen your teeth, or climb into the stew. This next poem is entitled, If You've Done Roughing Nong, You've Nothing to Fear. The past is past as a present to the present, and the presence of mind with which we present the present as a present to the future will be the past past as a present to that present. And so on. This next poem is entitled The Despotic Elephant, and no, it is not a metaphor. An elephant with fascist tendencies and various exotic dependencies kept his eye on that there King Lion, frustrated by his monarchic propensities. He made plans to overthrow, thinking the lion's popularity low. But he was discovered when his habits were uncovered, which was lucky because he was despotic, you know. The lion had him thrown in jail and thought that was the end of that tale. But the elephant's allies filled his party with lies and the economy started to fail. The land dried up and starvation came, further waves in the political game. Survival of the fittest became survival of the shittest, and the lion took most of the blame. In jail the elephant saw in a glance that now was the time for his chance. He used his selections of media connections and spun the lion a merry dance. Now the political tide was turning as the populace were quickly learning. Hierarchy doth suck when you're down on your luck. Lion's kingdom was in need of a burning. The jackal, the vulture, and the monkey put their support to the despotic junkie. Who will lead our land in need? I, elephant, and he was out with one key. The elephant is now in charge, destroying enemies with the simplest of barge. To all you creatures with beautiful features, get the lion in you and charge! This next poem is entitled Shanty. My best friend died of stomach cancers when he was 19 years of age. Too young to accumulate a sense of just rage. He died in fear, and now I'm here, with my years of meager successes and indulgent regrets, back on the cigarettes. I have never written about that time back when, the turbulent and somber crash time of there and then. It was the first time I saw our jokester boss smack his steering wheel, appalled by our mutual friend's unfair ordeal. I was a stunned passenger in his car and in life. This was something else after a hot-tempered and frightening man had made my mother his bitter housewife. I was 17. A diet of Hollywood movies made me a bit part player in my best friend's death scene. It had been such a happy day before the news came, unleashing pent-up tears that until this time I had learned to tame. We'd been moving office furniture to a prosperous new premises. Then this. It was his mother who rang and told me he was dying. Surrounded by all at work, I broke down, bent out of shape, crying. She said that he hadn't been told yet and they were waiting to let him know. My boss said I should go. My girlfriend and I made our way to the hospital, having been told not to tell our friend. For reasons of good psychology, we were expected to pretend. We walked into the ward and saw him whilst carrying this lie. My best friend said he had 3 types of cancer in his stomach and he was going to die. I feigned disbelief in the best way I could try. It turns out some junior doctor messed up and had let the truth fly. My best friend, in his white hospital garments, with his face drained of care. In both senses of the word dumb, I sat there. For a whole year beforehand, he had repeatedly told his doctor of his pain. Impatient with his patient, he diagnosed ulcers and said not to come back again. The following 4 weeks were the slope down to his demise. It was to happen in his estranged home within his weak family ties. I played the dutiful friend, the strong one, the support. Self-taught. Awkward is the word that describes, yet does so little to serve, the dreadful, haunting misery of death that he did not deserve. Shanti was my best friend's name. It is Sanskrit for inner peace. Inner peace died in my life. This poem is a release. My anger with the medical profession does little to alleviate the deed, and a profit-driven healthcare world is not a tyranny we need. Nature can be a murderer. Its motivation is insane. Stop the human folly of fighting each other, and bring an end to this awful pain. This next poem is called Love is the Drug. Love is an amphetamine, more potent than any E, more addictive than coke or heroin, more unpredictable than LSD. An addiction to an affliction is the hardest pull to breach. It be the slippery slope of dependency and has one hard to reach. It is the power of its notion that has one serving mad. To believe it is a potion is a pity you've been had. True love respects the true, regardless of what is fact. And only your love of you will stick to the heart's contract. And now a poem about doing the laundry called Laundromatic. In it goes. Then the spinning drum throws, around my clothes. In a vortex of familiarity, these garments lose their color clarity. The designer's restrictions have been set free by the time it's taken to adjust to me. These clothes I wear are a routine days, chucked around in chaotic ways. I'm very cold as I write this song, avoided this washing for so very long. Everything was dirty. I now have nothing on. Ursa Minor Beta. The world is secular, circular, and the only one we've got. So cheer up, you lot. Nothing that exists can be called unnatural, and all that's contractual is we're born, we live, we die, with inadequate explanations as to why. Why we're inhabiting the surface of a planet 8,000 miles thick, whilst compared to a candle we're a small percentage of the wick. But burning still, a part of the light. But apart from the light, there's an unyielding will and urge to purge, to move on, to change, rearrange, then rest and wish for the best. Then take the crap out and replace it with proper bits. Seems to me sometimes we're governed by a law of opposites. And if you're compelled to disagree, that'll be the law of opposites, you see. I am going to do an old favourite. This one is called The Talking Pillow, and I did read it last time, but I kind of like it. The Talking Pillow. Once, to a crash slumber on my bed so late, I learned that my pillow could actually communicate. As I lay my head of lead at the head of the bed, my talking pillow said, "Let me be the foundations for the constructions of your dreams. I shall bear the burden from and for your neck. Close your eyes, banish the moonbeams. I'll free your worries with a rain check. Allow the cloak of closed eye mind's projector dark. Enforce neuron pathways for inner quests on which you'll embark. Here is your chance for the mighty mind molecules to do their sleep dance. For every trial you face, every care, I am placed just in case, here, to be there. So, come rest, you weary traveller, you hunter-gatherer of confusions, bring your seclusions rest, for you know it's best to accept the night of deep." I said, "Will you shut up, pillow? I am trying to get to sleep." Next is another unpleasant true story. They haven't all been true stories. The one about the elephants, that was completely made up. But this is, you know how in life you learn a little bit about yourself and you don't like it very much? This is a story about an incident like this. And it is called Birdkill. I once killed a baby bird with a broad stick, hard and fast. The woman who'd handed me the weapon said that its life would not last. Out of mercy, I had to hit it as hard as I knew, and my aim had to be true. The first blow exploded its body into red spray. But its screeching tweet of despair did not go away. For I missed the poor little one's shot at a quick death, and I pummeled away its misery and continued with my breath. Why did I listen to that woman? Why did I not save it? My memory is now tainted with a slavery slur, and I saw me willfully pave it. about the truth of physicality. Oi, oi, oi. There was a young man from Great Britain, who with a beautiful French girl was smitten, and like a clumsy twat, he went and blew that, then lived the next 10 years like a lost kitten. It's still a different world. They say that common ground is hard to find, but I say it's at our feet. They say it's right to pull the rug from under, but I say I've got that beat. This small blue-green place with all colours hangs in the black space hurled around. With obesity and hunger pangs, we share this common ground. Tectonics test us and continents drift, nationalities shift and sway. Definitions alter all that's been claimed. There is no common day. Polarities repulse and attract. Atmospherics change their course. Tides rise with current affairs. Nature has use of force. Scale and increments and measure of man. Reacting catalysts are we. Rowing, flowing to fading plan. We see the galaxy sea. This next poem is written for a feature that I'm writing. It is called Frank's Machine. Curse the day when they found a way to make war pay. Curse those who fill their pockets with money made from selling rockets. Curse all those politicians who rate human life beneath their career ambitions. The financial dictatorship sets the par for the course. Our way of life kept in arrested development by fiscal force. They keep our outrage at bay by editing what hits our screen. People as a renewable resource to fuel the cogs of Frank's machine. They hail our heroes who died in their wars for their idealism that keeps us on all fours. Tax on wages and everything we buy, monthly installments until we die, and it doesn't stop there, there's more despair. People starve in war-torn lands, children work their Happy Meal hands, men of God crush men of peace, the money grab means for a fight that won't cease. Environment disasters and economic crime, we slave for faceless masters who clip our claws so we can't climb. They limit our drugs and lay guilt trips on our lusts, pat the heads of their thugs and benefit to our disgust. Now it's gotten to the stage where apathy reigns supreme, and manufactured music plays behind some football team. We are conquered by a solitude divide, and fight our individual wars inside. Peace is the only way for tension to unwind. Stop the fighting. Align your heart and mind. This one is called Consumer Plantation, and I'd like to thank the late great comedian Mr. Bill Hicks for such a phrase. Digesters of cultural output, please bow your heads and pray. The great target marketplace has something important to say. It is displeased with your displeasure, and thinks you all ungrateful beasts. You fall short of projected measure, and gorge on short-term feasts. This consumer plantation is paid for by the fruits of your labour. We have our nuclear weaponry, and you've a rattle of a rattling sabre. Give up, pathetic sediment, wretched effluent of affluent dreams. Take your place in the lunch line and support your allocated teams. These Breton Circus wonderlands are laid out for you to be entertained. By our findings, you are too backwards to understand anything explained. Our sponsor, who art in charge, commerce be thy name. This next poem is entitled, Arr! me tarties. There was a plebeian prowl with a horse-lut roll, the usual morality and an uptight soul, who went for afternoon tea with a captain of the sea. They discussed the storms and the mermaids and the fish when the horse-lut revealed his lifelong wish, wanting to be set free from the tide inside where his mind drifted, bobbed, his inner eyes sobbed, and his parrot had more authority. The captain sighed with a big beard of knowledge. Are ye be selecting your desires from the landlubber's college? Your wish be a white whale, and strong winds prevail. Ye crash on the rocks, drop anchor in docks, thinking ye follow the law of the sea. But ye haven't named your boat, bailing buckets to stay afloat, and the waters are controlling ye. Come to navigate ye terms, we be captains, we be germs. He belched, farted, and left, the horse-lut bereft, left ponderin' and a-thinkin' and alone. What's a plebeian prowl with a horse-lut roll, the usual morality and an uptight soul, to do with an unnamed boat, as the Jonah of his crew? This poem is entitled Friday, January 30th, 2004. I'm going out of my mind without purpose. When it comes to humanity, I feel somewhat surplus. Suppression anxiety has me pained to holding in, a ticking-tocking time bomb restraining to give in. To predict that I will blow is a future I cannot know. All I can ever dream to do is to find the path that pulls me through. Is it career? Is it the girl? Should I stay right here, give my perspectives a whirl? Should I stress impatience towards my complacency, claim my contradictions as paradox or hypocrisy? Should I do some yoga or get mad drunk, wear a toga or become a monk, relieve the tension by getting laid or dive into work and get well paid? Should I create a good film for the world to see or down some snacks with Terminator 3? Should I be concerned with Britney Spears and watch her crash over the next few years? Should I listen to some R&B and bounce my body rhythmically? Should I fight the powers that be for their blatant business loyalty? Should I hug a tree with New Age calm or stick a needle in my arm? Should I slash my wrists to bleed it out? Should I go right wing, left wing, throw blame about? What can I achieve by asking you? Because it's actions, not thought, that will pull us through. We've got some dead men's quarrels to resolve before us lot can hope to evolve. It's easy to get caught and bought when you're fraught and taught. Yes, it is. It's easy to get caught and bought when you are fraught and taught. You cavort and contort, then resort to court and import support from the court bought fraught and taught. You cavort and contort, then resort to court and import support from the court bought fraught and taught. That was called Short. And it was. That brings an end to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope there were little lines or moments that sent you off thinking about other things and missing the next couple of poems. And thank you very much for listening. I've thoroughly enjoyed coming here and at Reflection Island. Well, I'll be back again some random time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in-world and enjoy our website at dragonintuitive.com.
I'm not going to read that one. Well, that one, I'll save that one for later. Are we recording now? I can go ahead now? And rolling. Okay. This first hello. Okay, I guess I should say hello and all that, huh? I won't read that one yet, but I will keep that open. All going well so far, Car? Are we doing okay? Okay, nice.
That's quite odd, just sort of like laying them down, you know, throwing them out. But normally when I do my show on Saturdays, I'm kind of like all over the place and chatting and eating chocolate and stuff. Going, But I guess I just sensed the recording. I actually made a note of everything I listened to. I listened to the last show just before we started, so I took a note of everything that that I did on the last one. There was a young man from Great Britain who, with a beautiful French girl, was smitten. Oh, starting again. Take two. Okay, I think I'm starting to run out of material here now. Not in a... I mean, I've got others, but certainly not ones that I'd like to do. I'm like looking at them thinking, nah. And of course, I've got all these other ones I did last time. And nice to have you come back again and hear the close. And